The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, Joshua Adam William Armathnot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson. Yeah, I wish I could have more pronunciation in the intro that we do for this, but got to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, the world of professional wrestling right now, to quote one of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite shows, it's not great, Bob. Not great. It's been a weird past 2 weeks. There is a lot of cracks, not just in WWE, kind of all over the board right now, led by WWE. And, you know, you can say maybe it's the post-mania blues, Joel, but I think we are dealing with much more than post-mania blues right now.
Yeah, we're dealing with, like, we both had our rants and raves on this, but my thing is, this is a multi-billion dollar company that is showing signs of being scared of a pissant company that they supposedly have no fear of. Employees in this multi-billion dollar company are being left astray and being misinformed and just really being fed into almost like a high school, junior high type mentality. People aren't being communicated properly. Creative is all over the place. There's no real directions for a lot of things. There are fears for weird reasons, blame being placed on other things when the blame should be placed solely on certain spots. And I mean, We've talked about it in great lengths if WWE could ever fail, and this is those signs and examples that one day WWE could fail because they are not appropriately responding to problems that they have. They're not going out of their way to fix things, to be like, we're going to be better. You remember at the beginning of the year when they had this whole thing and they were talking about what they were going to do and the fans are in charge and we're going to do better? Well, it's May 2nd, and they haven't done better. They haven't done anything to change anything around. It's still an absolute gong show from a product standpoint.
Yeah, you and Mo had this thing where, like, it was sinking, and I kind of had this belief of, you know, it's a billion-dollar company. No matter what, it's still the wrestling company. They're the NBA, NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball. They're one of the major sports companies in North America and the world. And wow, have they just dropped the ball overall, just like you said, with communication, with talent. There's so many layers as we dissect everything. It kind of goes back to that conference call for the quarter one report when they wouldn't give out dates of pay-per-views. They wouldn't give out talent information. They wouldn't give out numbers for the network. And they just said, oh, the network's working well. They made BS excuses about why the ratings have dropped, saying talent has been injured, and that's why we weren't there.
Well, you look at it. I guarantee you, if you look at the numbers, remember heading into WrestleMania 31 when they had those massive rash of injuries? Seth was down, yep. Cena was down, Cesaro was down. A lot of big names were down and out. That was heading into 32.
Brian.
You had a long list of injuries heading into Mania, and it hit right at the worst time possible. But you've now hit a record low for ratings with Raw, which was a 2.16. SmackDown Live hit a 1.8. And you've been seeing this decline for a while now. It's not like these numbers came out of the blue and you're like, what's going on? This has slowly been creeping down as time has gone on and time has progressed. And to say it's because of one thing or another thing, it's ludicrous. It, like, the best thing I can compare this to, this is much like a company like BlackBerry or Blockbuster. These massive staple companies that you had. Blockbuster was everywhere. I went into Blockbuster at least once every 2 weeks to go and either rent a movie or rent a video game or do something. I was there constantly. And now the Blockbuster doesn't exist. I can tell you where the Blockbuster was close to my house, but there's not a Blockbuster there anymore. BlackBerry was dominating the market. I was thinking of getting a BlackBerry. And then when I got my first cell phone, it was an iPhone, because that had just came in and that was the new hot thing. But BlackBerry did nothing to respond to this new hot thing, and they suffered for it. And now you talk about them being a major sports staple, but this is a company that you see, you will always come back. I think it's a little bit different, because you'll always come back. No matter how you felt about how the Flames season ends, you're going to be back watching the Flames. I feel like this, once you kind of really get wound down from it as a casual fan, you're going to be like, eh, I don't need to watch it. And then the ratings are going to keep dipping. And if you're driving hardcore fans away, then you're really in trouble. So, well, I do think it is a sports brand. I don't think it's nearly to the level of an NBA, NHL, NFL, anything along those lines. I think it's definitely a step below those. Not saying that the athletes are a step below, but just within public perception, they're a step below. And they just they're behind the eight ball already, and now they're putting a couple more eight balls behind them to make things even harder for themselves. Because a lot of what's happening to WWE is their own doing, with nonsensical treatment of their talent backstage. I mean, there's more growing unrest about money and just position on cards and how things are being booked and handled. This is a creative failure. This is Vince McMahon's essentially the showrunner of this show, and he's failing, but no one's going to fire Vince because he's Vince McMahon. And I think we're getting more and more to the point where it's Vince has to walk away because Vince doesn't know how to handle wrestling product in the future. There's no thought about the future with this company. It's now. Well, we have the Saudi money. Well, we have the Fox money, so we can do whatever we want. We can pay talent to sit there and do nothing because we're scared that they're going to bite us in the ass because we don't know what to do with them. And it's boggling that you're like, oh, well, money will solve this. Money's not going to solve your problem in 3 to 4 years, especially if the Saudi deal disappears, and especially if your ratings continue to suck, and Fox drops you like a bad habit. Then where's SmackDown Live going to go? You're going to have to find a new home for SmackDown Live. You're going to get less money than what you got with the Fox deal. And now you're going to be left going, well, we've got all these contracts, and you're stuck in a stupidly stupid situation that you put yourself into.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will kind of relate it to as far as a sports brand, if they are concerned about stars, you know, we're seeing that in the NHL and the NBA playoffs right now, where the NHL lost two of its biggest stars in Sidney Crosby and Alexander Ovechkin. They won't be going further in the playoffs, and they don't have the traditional powerhouse big cities other than Boston. NBA suffering it from ratings, but they're still kicking WWE's ass on these Mondays and Tuesdays, despite not having someone like LeBron, but they still have the Steph Currys and the James Hardens of the world. But not having LeBron, you can see how it does hurt someone like the NBA. But guess what? The NBA is still good enough to market themselves and market other stars and push themselves, and it's still a product that people want, even if the ratings are on a small decline in these playoffs. It's funny, too, because Mo brought this up. In a way, they did all the right things at WrestleMania. They gave everybody what they wanted. They gave them Kofi Kingston. They gave them Seth Rollins. They gave them Becky Lynch. But it's fine and dandy to give us all that. It's another thing. We'll talk about the backstage in a second. You're talking about the on-screen. You gave everything that we wanted, but then how do you move forward with it? And it's almost been a month since WrestleMania, and how have those things been followed? Kofi seems like nothing more than a paper champion. And you know these ratings are going to be blamed on as being the champion. And maybe to a degree they are, because maybe people can't take him serious as the headliner of your brand. I don't think Kevin Owens will beat him, but be damn sure that they're either going to make him face Brock at Saudi Arabia or they're going to get that belt onto Roman as fast as they can, because they will blame Kofi for these ratings, and you damn know that Kofi's not having that title around Fox time or SummerSlam time. Becky, I don't know what happened there. She's completely ice cold now.
Well, who she's out of you.
Yeah, well, she's facing Charlotte again, and she's facing Lacey Evans. And then Seth, exciting, facing AJ, but AJ kind of feels in this weird spot. That program's okay, but you bring up a good point. I'll let you follow up. Facing Becky, and if you're just watching SmackDown and Raw right now, and you see the two adverts come up, and you're not really paying attention, you would think she's facing the same person. You're a tall, blonde woman.
Here's the problem. I'm not going to give any spoilers away, but so WrestleMania was essentially Endgame, where everything got wrapped up, or most of the storylines all got wrapped up. One way or another, I'm not telling you how it got wrapped up. And then they came back with the next movie, and it was just like, oh, well, we'll have little blue Thanos-like creatures chasing after you. We're going to give you guys... because that works, so we're going to keep doing that. And you're like, well, no, I want a different story.
It's the same story properties.
They can't... This company creatively is stifled. It is stifled, and it is the same regurgitated stories time in and time out. And you get to the point where you look at someone like Becky, who was white hot. She had cooled off a little bit, but she still got a massive reaction, and she was one of the more popular shirts that I saw at Mania.
Of course.
And you just... I think the big thing for all of that was she had her moment, and it was a little bit of a weird moment. There's definitely some sort of botch with it, but she still had her moment, and you couldn't figure out how to keep Becky's momentum going forward. Becky seems a little different. Like, they're not carrying on with the same Becky Lynch character that we've seen. It's not a progression for a character. It's kind of a diversion. They've moved from one angle with her, and now, like, her Twitter game's not nearly as strong anymore, and I think maybe she got in trouble for that. I also think the thing is, she doesn't have someone... Lacey and Charlotte aren't setting her up for anything. They're staying kind of quiet on social media. Like, Becky's had better Twitter banter with Bayley than she did with Lacey Evans or Charlotte. So it's an example. That's where you should have gone. You should have gone with Bayley next. Bayley should have been the one that you should have gone with, but you didn't. You went another way. And it's the same thing over and over again. And as of right now, it's being reported that the women are being blamed for the rating decline, that they're getting kind of cold feet about the women main eventing WrestleMania and putting this on the women, which I disagree with, because I think regardless of the product that you put out on there, like you look at Game of Thrones as an example, and you look at the numbers that they did for the last episode, and again, no spoilers from me, but it featured women characters in a predominant role, and it worked. So you can't just say, oh, women don't draw. I think women draw, but you have to be smart enough to come up with an actual storyline that works. You had the finality for one story, and then you had no idea how to do the next thing. You have no idea
also...
how to move these guys forward. The pieces moved forward, and then you're like, oh, I don't know what to do anymore. It's their fault. It's their fault for not being able to get over. But we've seen in the past where guys, to bounce around a bit, but it works. Luke Harper, one of the reasons that Luke Harper has asked for his release and now is stuck in Vince McMahon purgatory, is he pitched ideas constantly to this company and no one was listening. And that seems to be a big problem within this company, is no one listens. Unless you're Roman Reigns. Unless you're Roman Reigns and you're the darling for the company, then things kind of get to play out. Yet at the same time, guys are going out there and trying to pitch ideas and trying to do things to progress their career forward, but more importantly, make you more money. And you just, I don't know if it's fear the reason why you don't listen to anyone, or it's just the old guard not willing to listen to the new guard coming in. It just, I don't know, there's a lot of symptoms right now of a dying body. And WWE's dying right now. If they were healthy, none of this, most of this wouldn't be happening. Maybe the ratings take a little bit of dip, but I think the talent wouldn't be as vocal about, we've got a list of like 5 or 6 talents looking to be like, I don't know if I want to be a part of this anymore. This is a body that is sick and it's dying. And I think Vince looks at it and goes, well, we'll figure it out. We'll do what we used to do and it'll be fine.
Well, yeah, he has the same stigma of, we'll use an authority figure. Or, like, even like the Kevin Owens thing, you could have dragged that out for a lot longer until at least Big E got back. And you knew it. They were just going to rush to it.
Yeah. That made no sense to me. Because you know what I saw when I saw KO in that equipment and everything, like in the New Day gear? I thought of him with the Bucks.
Yeah.
And that's some of his better work, is doing stuff like that with the Bucks. And you could have easily gone into that and you could have let him have fun and enjoyed it for a little bit until Big E got back, and then that's when the turn happened. But you rushed this turn because Brian wasn't healthy and you didn't have an idea of where to go next. But surprise, surprise, what is it? We're still 2 weeks away from the pay-per-view and Brian's medically cleared now. So now what are you doing with Brian? Like, is it going to be a triple threat now? Like, where are you going? What's Brian's...
Well, it's even kind of what Jericho was talking about, right? Where he had the best program. It's kind of the thing that led Jericho to leave this company. He had the best program of the year with him and KO. You actually really cared about that program. And then the placement of the card and the time they had, and then Vince shit all over it because he just got pissed off at KO and Jericho one day and changed his mind where he wanted to put things. So that whole program just kind of became nothing to me. And the Goldberg thing, too, when Jericho came out to distract him versus Goldberg. Same typical stuff, but Jericho's character, we knew we'd never really do that. But that's the way that they wanted to do it. It's like, oh, yeah, we'll have Goldberg. He'll distract, and Goldberg will be KO for the title. But if the title was on – if Brock and Goldberg faced each other for the title, it doesn't mean anything as much as you having the idea that Brock just never beat Goldberg. Having Jericho and KO for the title and Jericho beating Owens for the title, that would have meant so much more. It's the amalgamation of this guy getting beat down on the Festival of Friendship, and the ultimate revenge is taking the WWE Championship away from him. And you could have built around there, because Goldberg and Brock didn't need it. But Jericho and KO, that would have elevated that program. But goddamn, we gotta put it on Goldberg, and we gotta put it on Brock so we can do that title. And that's the mentality that we continually had. You could feel it at WrestleMania. The Kofi moment was electrifying. It was fantastic over TV. You were lucky enough to get to feel that moment at Mania, and I'm sure it's a moment you're never going to forget. But then on TV, the crowd just fucking died because Roman came on and was forced, and everything else there just kind of seemed forced. And then the women got their chance, but they seemed so fucking nervous, and that kind of ruined that a little bit. And now you come to where we are now. They're still signing so much talent, and they don't know what to do with any of the talent. And, you know, you don't have to give everybody everything they want. That's what the fans want. But we want things to be done correctly. And now you look at who's in the women's Money in the Bank. And just a year ago, I mean, not even 4 months ago, when we were doing our year in review, I said the best part of this company was the women's division. In that Money in the Bank, Joel, is there really anyone you really care about winning the women's Money in the Bank?
Dana Brooke.
In all seriousness, though, is there anyone you really care about? Because there's no one in that Money in the Bank that I really care about.
It's again examples of I honestly don't know what to say. You'd think that.
And SmackDown's ruined now because SmackDown feels like Raw. SmackDown was the one thing that at least I enjoyed and quote unquote marks still enjoyed about the WWE other than NXT was like, well, at least routinely SmackDown's going to be a good show because it has AJ, it has all these good wrestlers. And now that Roman's on it, and I'm not trying to blame Roman, the fans feel in this really awkward position with Roman because they want to boo him, but they feel like a dick if they do. But SmackDown just feels like Raw Lite now.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like how SmackDown used to feel.
And this was coming. Like, this was absolutely coming. The minute you moved Roman over there and you swapped AJ, you set yourself up to be in a situation where the show that was really for more of the hardcore fans is no longer that show for the hardcore fans. You've suddenly stripped it away from everything that made it SmackDown in one fell swoop. Raw feels disjoint. Like, it feels like Raw is trying to be SmackDown now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, if I was
with the back shaving, because that's what we want to see. One of the best tag teams in the world shaving each other's backs.
Like, I feel like if you took both rosters and you could jumble them up a little bit more, keep Bryan on SmackDown. Like, Bryan's now, and we've heard rumors heading into Mania that Bryan's not allowed to do his gimmick because it's gone too far, or it was too extreme, and it was too. The environmentalist thing has apparently run its course, which I disagree with.
I disagree with too. Is the one thing that was kind of working, and us as fans as Bryan, we're booing him and wanted to boo him.
Yep. Yeah. You don't like Bryan. You should have kept Raw as Raw and SmackDown as SmackDown. But with this Fox deal, we knew it was coming, where they were going to turn SmackDown more into Raw, and Raw is going to maybe turn into more SmackDown, but Vince is still going to have all his fingers over Raw, because he's always going to see Raw over SmackDown. So now you've got this weird thing where both shows have lost their identity, essentially, and I don't know, like, if it was me, I would have swapped Seth and Kofi. I would have moved the New Day over to Raw, and I would have moved Seth over to SmackDown.
But we can't have the red belts on the blue show.
Just turn it into the big gold belt. I don't...
Serious question, though. The ratings are partially, I think, to blame because people don't take Kofi as a serious champion, unfortunately.
I don't know. My thing is, you give the guy the title, and you got to build him up. And
that's
That's going to take a bit of time. And I just don't think WWE has the patience to build Kofi up to make him go, hey, you know what? He's actually a legitimate champion. Like, I feel like Kofi would need, like, the Randy and Mick Foley moment. I feel like that's what Kofi's really lacking right now, is that hardcore,
I agree.
Just bloody, brutal brawl that he wins. And I feel like he could do that with KO, but they won't. He's going to just eke out a win against KO, and it's going to continue to be that paper champion.
Because, and then he'll lose to Saudi.
Yeah. Because they're just going to go, well, we don't want to really legitimize Kofi Kingston. That's the other thing. The company's afraid of the moves that they made. I think they're afraid of Seth. I think they're afraid of Becky. And I think they're afraid of Kofi. And they're like, we had to make these decisions. We were under duress. We had to make these decisions. And they don't want to do anything positive for any of them. I don't think they want to help build them up.
No.
There are rumors that they already have Becky earmarked as champion for Mania 36, but that's going to change, and that'll probably change back to Charlotte or someone else.
Well, I think there's Charlotte fatigue for sure already with the title. I think that's a big part. And I think what you brought up too, like, if they're having regrets about the woman, how much do you think they're going to be like, well, we gave them Kofi, and look how it turned out. We got a 1.8 rating. Like, they don't know anything. We don't need to listen to them. Let's go back to what we know. Let's get the title on Lars. Or on to I can't even think right now, the Stalker, right? On to Elias. That's the Drifter, the Stalker. The Drifter. I think that's a big problem right now, is that they are going to come like, well, we listened to the fans, and that did jack shit for us, so we're not going to listen to them anymore. So there's just a variety of problems. And I think, too, Joel, the biggest thing is here, too, is I think YouTube's a minor problem for them as far as ratings go, because according to Meltzer, they don't make much money off of that. And it's a problem just because for people like me now, and, you know, I would assume a little bit for you now, I don't really care if I turn in live. Number one, there's no need to turn in live. They have not given me the need to, like, I need to watch this live over whatever is on a Monday or whatever on Tuesday, sports, television, or things you have in your personal life. I don't feel the need that I need to watch these shows live. Really, even to go back in PVR, when now, too, like, the best stuff is on YouTube, and I'll search it out on YouTube, or I'll just listen to a recap from a wrestling podcast that can do just as good a job if I really care that much.
Yeah. This is a symptom of their frivolous spending, and they're putting money in the wrong spots and not actively trying to make themselves more money. Like to steal from Punk, Vince is a billionaire, but he should have a lot more money. They should be able to smartly spend their money, but they're not. They're foolishly spending their money, and they're constantly foolishly spending their money to the point where it's like, well, what are you doing? You don't care, so why do I care? That's the mindset that I get from higher ups, is they don't care.
Because, you feel it now too, man. You feel it with the way the talent's being treated, and you feel it on screen now. It's just ho-hum. It's a very ho-hum product.
And it'll continue that, and that's why the Fox deal is going to fall apart. It'll go for a year, and it'll probably be like, yeah, well, this isn't working.
And Meltzer's asked every day if they can pull out of that deal right now, and he says they can't. But every day, can they stop this deal before it happens? And I'm sure Fox is like, fuck, what did we do?
Yeah, because you gave these guys this money, and now they're like, well, we don't care. It doesn't matter to us. We're good. Like, we're well set. Like, we got nothing to worry about.
We got our money, so why do we need to change anything? Who cares if we have our money?
Yep. And that is why this company is going to sputter out, and it could run into a lot of problems down the line, especially with more and more likely of a chance of an exodus of talent. And here's the thing, because we haven't hit on all our points.
We got to get to some other points. We went too long on this, so let's move on.
Well, I think this has worked so far, but this ties in with it is a guy that has left your company, probably shot this video while he was still employed with you, and then the day he became a free agent, became John Moxley, and is currently sitting at 2.5 million views on Twitter. He never sent out a tweet. He never did anything social media-wise. And the first day he does something social media-wise, it blows up. You see John Moxley, and it sounds like he's going to be hitting the indies in June. What that means for his future with All Elite Wrestling, if there's anything there, I don't know, but this guy left your company, Dean Ambrose, a big star for you, and has left, and in a video, and a very, very quality video, has created more buzz than you did for him when he returned from injury. Back in, what, September? August?
Yeah, I mean, he had the gas mask, and I think he... That's a guy that, when we did our year in review, had a lot of worse stuff. I think he beat out Baron Corbin for two of our worst wrestlers of the year. Just because, and it wasn't about Dean Ambrose in the ring. It was about his stuff outside the ring was so atrocious, and it was just so annoying that we made him our worst wrestler of the year. And now look at him. It's like, he's like, there's no chance that's going to happen.
Yeah, because he's going to go, and he'll be probably in a couple death matches. I'm willing to place money he'll probably be in AEW, so he'll be there, he'll be a big star for them, because that would be a massive get. If I was AEW and I was Tony Khan, he's a guy I'm pursuing hard, and I'm basically telling him, you can do whatever you want, so long as you follow these little parameters that we have for our company and our company guidelines, you can do whatever you want and just go and be John Moxley.
I agree. And I was kind of shocked. Number one, how well it was shot. It was shot so well. And it made me a guy that I just have not cared about. I think the last time I really cared about that character, Dean Ambrose, John Moxley, whatever you want to call him, the last time I cared about him was Roadblock, I think it was 2016.
Yep.
Was the last time I really cared about that character. And since then, after the match he had with Brock and then that Austin interview, he was DOA with that company. And in one short video, he reestablished himself like, all right, this guy's a badass. I'm really excited to see him face guys on the indies and have death matches and do what he can do.
Yep. Have a program with Kenny Omega. Have a program with Cody. Have a program with Jimmy Havoc.
Sammy Callahan was the one I was thinking of. I think that's the one everyone's like, yeah, let's get this out. Sammy Callahan at Pentagon, yeah. And that's a big loss for them.
TNA.
Yeah. And he's not the only talent right now. Luke Harper, he asked for his I have two feelings on this. Number one, These guys are asking for their releases online, and I get what they're trying to do. WWE, I will say, does have the right to not release them. They sign contracts. They have to agree to these contracts that they put out. I do agree with that. That point's been made this week that these talents sign contracts, and they should fulfill those contracts. The other side of it, because there is a situation also, though, like, yes, they did sign contracts. They should have to fulfill those contracts. Is you signed that contract, you made a promise.
Contractors, Josh.
No, I know. Let me make this. Yeah, there's that point, too. But in the NBA, in the NFL, whatever, we've seen it this year already. Antonio Brown, I'm not happy in Pittsburgh. Get rid of me. Please get rid of me. End up trading him to Oakland. We've seen it with Anthony Davis. That got a lot more messy. He'll probably be traded in the summer. We've seen it with Kyrie Irving in the past. We saw it with Matt Duchene. I want out of Ottawa. Okay, we'll trade you. Done. We're going to see it with the Nashville Predators to P.K. Subban. He wants out of Nashville. That athletes do this all the time. Like, I want to go. And now, obviously, the WWE can't trade their talent. But why would you want to keep someone like Lou Harper around? Why keep Alexander Wolf around? The Revival, Sasha Banks, who we'll get into Sasha in a bit, and Luke in the bigger sense here. But why are you going to keep these talents around and be dicks and extend their time? Number one, it makes you look really bad for any of this future talent that you want to sign. There still will be people that be like, oh, I want to have the WrestleMania dream, and you know, that sucks for that talent, but that would happen to me. But it still is going to put a minor stain on you being like, wow, look what they did to Sasha Banks. Look what they did to Luke Harper. These were guys that were more Sasha in a sense, but talent that really wanted to come there and want to let them go. And what made Hideo and what made Sean Spears, Ty Dillinger, so special they get the release, but Luke Harper and Sasha and the Revival don't. And that's a problem too. And then I'll let you go after this, Joel. And then extending time from injury miss that they did this to Ray a few years ago and did it to Dash Wilder this week. They did it to Luke Harper. They did it to Alexander Wolf. And they did apparently a little bit to Sasha. It's just not a good look as a company that you do that to your talent.
Here's my thing. Here's my whole thing on this. Is if you're the big fish and everyone else is the little fish and AEW is a pissant and doesn't matter, why does it matter if Luke Harper, Sasha Banks, Killian Dane, Alexander Wolf, Tyler Breeze, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens,
Finn?
Why does it matter? Good Brothers. Why does it matter if these guys go to a piss-act company? They're not going to be able to do anything. They're not going to be able to hurt the big fish in the pond. You shouldn't be scared by any of these guys. None of these guys should scare you because you're the big fish. You're WWE. You have Roman, Seth, AJ. You have all these guys, Daniel Bryan, all these guys.
You were able to re-sign AJ, which was a surprise to a lot of us.
I don't know if it was a surprise.
I guess the only surprise is because of the talent they had there, but I think he's very happy with his life. And he got a very good contract. I think it was $2.5 million that he got, it sounds like.
So he got a good deal. But it's...
Yeah.
You have all... Why are you scared? Because they are scared. They are absolutely scared. They know what Sasha can do. They know what Luke Harper could do, even though they desperately want him to speak a southern accent. Like, could you imagine traveling 30 years back in time and telling a wrestling fan that Vince doesn't know what to do with a 6'7", 240...
That looks 45? Like Bruiser Brody.
Yeah, doesn't know what to do.
You have Bruiser Brody reincarnated. And, like, every time you and I remember the first time you and I saw Luke Harper live here in Calgary, we're like, holy crap, he's a star. And when he had that run against AJ a few manias ago to get the number one contendership, it's like, what is going on? Why is this guy not pushed more? He's so talented, he can talk.
You look at it, you look at that whole Bray and Randy thing, it seemed like he was going to get added, and then he didn't get added, mm-hmm. and then that was the death of his career. Like, in WWE, mm-hmm. that's when everything declined. The Bludgeon Brother thing was just... And the big thing is, well, he can't do a southern accent. Why does he need to do a southern accent? If he's kicking ass in ring and he can cut a decent promo, then what's it gonna kill you to give this guy a shot, at least in the mid-card? Like, I don't get why none of these guys are being flooded in your mid-card to make things constantly fresh and different mm-hmm. and have different programs instead of the same thing over and over and over and over again. Look at the people that Finn's feuded with. You could have had Finn feuding with a bunch of different people, but you have the same thing over and over again. You look at Corbin. You look at the state of Baron Corbin. He's essentially one of your number one heels. when he shouldn't be. He absolutely shouldn't. But I guarantee you, Luke Harper could be a top heel for you in your mid-card. Absolutely. But
absolutely. You saw what he did with the Bludgeons. It was a stupid tag team name, but pretty good tag team.
Yeah, yeah. The just injuries always seem to hurt them. It's an example of this company that, yes, they're scared. There are probably some WWE hardcore fans out there like, no, AEW.
Oh, no. I've seen it, dude. I've seen it on Meltzer's comments, and they've been like, only the smarks care about ratings. This company is still in great shape. And if you're telling yourself that, you're telling yourself a lie. Because this company is failing right now. And if you're enjoying the product, God bless you. That's awesome. I'm glad you're enjoying this side of entertainment. But there is a vast amount of people, almost 2.5 billion people, that 4 years ago was watching this product because a 3 million rating was bad for this company. 3 million was bad. And now we're at 1.8. And that's not good. And that, and I think that in a way is going to scare some television people from wanting to give an AEW a contract now.
This
because
hurts AEW as well. Don't get me wrong. This hurts them because you look at, again, to someone not really paying attention to wrestling, not entrenched in wrestling, will see this and go, well, WWE is the big dog, so now they're hurting, so why do we want to get in bed with this upstart company? And that's absolutely reality, and I think that it's going to be interesting to see where AEW ends, because we need them. We need AEW bad. There is a desperate need for an alternative product with deep pockets and guys that give a damn for wrestling.
Like you, absolutely.
You need them desperately.
And I mean, like, because we know TNT had a deal, but I wonder if Turner and whatnot looked at this and been like, well, maybe we'll wait for AEW until, I mean, it could get to the point where maybe AEW tries Twitch or something like that. I don't think it's on Realm. Impact did it, right? I wonder if YouTube as well. I mean, they have a good base there. I do wonder where the overall interest for wrestling is overall right now.
It's low.
On a mainstream side, it concerns me just in the sense of Mania really did seem kind of big that week, just globally. And the Bret Hart story, I mean, we're in Calgary, so that, you know, hits a little bit. But it did seem like mainstream, that Bret Hart story, when he got tackled, hit ESPN, hit everywhere. And I was like, okay, so WrestleMania is having an effect. And then when AEW had some announcements, ESPN and a few other places covered it. But it seems this past week or so, things have really died down. Things have really cooled off. And all we keep on hearing, and I hate to be negative. I want to be positive. I want to be like, hey, this happened to Raw. This happened to SmackDown. Because this is what the show used to be. But when Road Dogg is stepping down and Arn gets fired for stupid reasons and Dean Malenko leaves the company, two veterans and Arn Anderson. And, well, Dean leaving is a bigger one because Dean left. Arn was fired unjustifiably. And then someone like Sasha Banks, which is the weirdest one, because this is all Sasha wanted. Her hero was Eddie Guerrero. All she ever wanted to do in her life was be in WWE. She said this in countless times. She never wanted to be an Impact. She had offers from TNA. Didn't want to wrestle in TNA. Didn't want to wrestle in Ring of Honor. She wanted to be where Eddie Guerrero was. She wanted to be at WrestleMania. And now she can't stand to be there because of the way that she was treated. What does that say to you? And then what does it say for people like me and Joel and Mo and other people that we know that watch this product to be like, meh, I'll watch it on YouTube or I just don't care. And that's what's going on. I used to have this debate, and me and Mo were going to have this debate that casuals matter. And will casuals matter? Guess what matters more? This consumer that's talking to you on the podcast right now, because that's the consumer that's changing off the channel. You can add those casual fans, and that's great. But if you lose us, that's the problem, and that's why you're at a 1.8 right now.
I have never received more text messages asking what I was doing for Double or Nothing or when AEW was starting. What's an update on AEW? People want to know what the deal is with AEW. Want to know when it's coming, because people are actively rejecting what Vince McMahon is giving you. Actively rejecting. And you hear more stories about how talent's treated, and you hear more stories along those lines, and you're like, I'm out. And I mean, here's, this ties in with my rant about being afraid of the pissant company is we got announced today that Goldberg will be at the Saudi show, because the rumor is WWE was getting a little nervous about Goldberg talking with AEW. Again, a pissant company that shouldn't scare you at all, but you have to throw money at Goldberg, fly him out to Saudi Arabia to wrestle for blood money.
That's, yep.
And that
the 50. How old is Goldberg? 52 show, right? Now? No, it's sometime in June. Goldberg's what, 52?
Yeah.
52-year-old. After we just had Dave Bautista, who's a 50-year-old, wrestling a match. Because they seemingly say that we have a star problem. Who are the stars, Joel? They realistically have built up mainstream in the last 10 years. Roman, who is in the middle of anything, and I guess Charlotte to a degree.
Yeah.
Where Seth should be much bigger. AJ should be much bigger. Ricochet... It's inconsistent booking too. Ricochet's a guy that you could perfectly build. You have it goes back to the inconsistent booking of Robert Roode beats him 2 weeks ago, and then this week he's in the Money in the Bank, and Robert Roode's not even on the TV show. What?
Well, it's the thing. Like, there was not to reveal anything, but there were some articles I was reading about Game of Thrones and the difference between the earlier seasons and the seasons that got off the books. The first seasons that were tied in with the books. Every action had a consequence, and the character paid that consequence. Now it's gotten a little less into that as they've gotten off book, but wrestling's been like that for years, where there are no consequences. There are no repercussions. There are no rewards. It's just, here you go. This is what we want to do for you today. It's the lack of repercussion for your actions that is hurting this company, and it's the lack of reward within this company. Guys that are going out and doing stuff for you and winning matches suddenly don't matter next week. They're losing, and they're like, oh, they suck. Well, they lost.
50-50 booking, man. Yeah. Look at Drew McIntyre. He was a beast. 50-50 booking, done. He's not the same anymore.
No, he's not. There's so many guys within this company that just... You don't have any major stars, and you're going to sit there and you're going to point the finger at the talent and be like, well, they're not hungry enough. Well, the thing is...
Look at Ciampa. Look at Ciampa, man. You brought up a great point. Look at what Ciampa said in that interview. People don't want to leave NXT because they know what's coming, and then they lose that hunger.
Yeah.
Because they know they have to start all over again.
And they have to start all over again, and they have to prove themselves to a nutcase.
Yep. Who changes their name weekly after weekly because he doesn't like the name War, despite having... his most popular show at one point, having that in the title.
I heard it was just because he just didn't like the name. But again, you know what it is? I think I said it on last week's show, and I'll say it again on this week. I think Vince sees NXT guys and wants to cut their ankles out from underneath them because they're like, oh, these guys have made it, but they haven't really made it, and I'm going to prove that they haven't made it.
It's what he did to Shelton and MVP and Masters and Carlito. Right? They came up and people really liked all those talent. And we constantly come back to that point of those, the early aughts, of why is there no talent from the early aughts? They come in and people are excited and electrified from them. And Shelton's around, but who cares what Shelton Benjamin does? Bobby Lashley's around, and we were all super excited to see Bobby Lashley. A year later, the most memorable thing about Bobby Lashley, I guess, was him winning the IC title, which was a good moment because it seemed like he cared. And for a brief moment, it's like, this Bobby Lashley thing has turned around because he cares. And he beat Roman. It seemed like, okay, that kind of matters. But we're always going to remember the stupid Sami Zayn skit with the sisters.
Yep.
That's what's going to come back to. And from that point, it was cut off. And then you put him with Leo, which this is why we have the transition. You put him with Leo, and it seemed like things were kind of mattering. But then they just went too far with the Leo stuff and didn't make it work as much as they should have.
No, and Leo's in definitely an interesting state. I mean, Leo has officially put his side of the story out on... There was a ton of heat on Leo for... Apparently he had heat with Finn, and he wasn't paying his dues and paying his respect to the locker room, and he put out his side of the story, which you can check out on Fightful.com. Sean Ross Sapp did the interview, and he's definitely someone that I follow more and more for wrestling information. I find
coming legit.
Yeah. And So he had interviewed Leo, but my thing is, I wonder how WWE is going to feel about this, because this is a guy stepping out and talking to a dirt sheet. I can't imagine they'll be thrilled with him.
Probably not. I mean, it's a guy, too, like, he brought up some points that are like, okay, valid points. The point of him not getting to really travel with Bobby and do signings with Bobby and merchandise stuff with Bobby. I think those are missed opportunities, obviously. But then there's stuff with him talking like, I didn't want to pay my dues because I was a young black man, and that's unfair. It's like, no, you're a rookie. Pay your damn dues.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely. And you're, because you're one of the few guys who got to go from 205 Live to the main roster. I believe he was the first guy to really, since we kind of pushed everyone back to 205, to have that switch before Ali had it in a bigger way. That's a big opportunity that obviously people saw something in you. Just shut up, pick up the bottles, and do your job. Yeah. And that'll gain you respect. And we've seen, especially with Roman in the locker room, the one thing I will say with Roman is he's taken that locker room leader, and I think he's done a great job from everything you've heard, right? Jericho has praised him for being the locker room leader guy. You need to lead by example and have those locker room leaders care about you, because we've seen in the past with the Undertakers and the Hardcore Hollies and the JBLs, not that two of those guys are good examples, but that goes a long way to show how much you care. And then those guys are going to go to Vince and give you high praise. Be like, well, you know, Leo's putting his head down. He's doing this and this. The more shit you cause, obviously, especially in this company, the worst things are going to be for you. So why make things harder? It's high school, exactly.
And you
don't shake hands.
You don't know the game that's being played, because the game is constantly changing depending on who you are, where you've come from, and what you've done. The game for Seth Rollins is different for the game for Finn Balor. I would have a meltdown going into this company, because I wouldn't know what I'm walking into, and wouldn't know how to play the game, because I would just be left floundering. And you're seeing guys that don't know how to play the game, what happens to their career. And according to Pro Wrestling Insider Mike Johnson, WWE offered Leo Rush a 5-year deal worth in the range of $300,000 per year, and Rush reportedly turned it down and told them to double that number. This is an example of a company. Like, we've heard reports that they offered The Revival $500,000. It's,
yep,
throwing money around, and yet you can't provide healthcare for these guys. It's so backwards how this company is run that I don't know what to say. I honestly don't know what to say.
Yeah, it's just, and kind of everything we're talking about, it's just weird. That a company this well, and it's also weird to me too, because I see how well the Double or Nothing, the Nightmare Family YouTube has ran, and I see how well that BTE has been ran. And I brought this point up last week, but I think it's worth bringing up again, that how are they so behind the ball on this stuff? Even with the Bray thing, just make the Bray thing a YouTube exclusive, because it's weird enough.
Ending the Bray thing.
Like, so there you go.
That line where he's sitting there talking and you just get that creepiness from him, and then he goes back to this happy Pee Wee Herman. Keep going with this.
It's something. It's weird, and I'm not a huge fan of it, but it's something, and it draws attention and leads to conversation. So make it a YouTube exclusive. Make people go there to get it. But they can't stick with it. They can't stick with weird. We have to have the authority figure. We have to have the classic bitch that Alexa Bliss plays, right? We can't change anything we go. There's nothing new. There's nothing radical that we can do. Meanwhile, a YouTube show that has two people acting as librarians, more people care about right now.
Yeah.
That's the status of how. Again, Sammy Guevara. I don't know how Sammy Guevara wrestles. I don't know what Sammy Guevara's finisher is. But I do know he's annoying as hell, and I want to see him get the shit kicked out of him. Right? And I don't know what Chuck Taylor or Trendy B are going to do, but I know one way or another they're going to try not to be in a battle royal, and I want to see how they're not in a battle royal.
Yeah.
And that's simple storytelling, and I can tell you everything that happened at SmackDown or Raw this week from YouTube or whatnot, but is there anything that really happened to make me want to draw into it? Not really. I'm like, oh, I heard KO attack Xavier Woods again. Oh, well. I heard that Miz and Shane got in a fight again, and they're going to have a cage match. Great. Cool. I guess we'll see the Money in the Bank. I'll see the recap there. There's nothing to make me draw in to it. And my question to you is, Joel, what can you do to possibly bring this audience back to care again?
Oh, this is a whole – that would be a whole separate podcast.
I know. I just don't know what even a simple fix is.
You essentially have to strip the product down completely. Like, you have to uproot this whole everything that you've done up to this point. You have to uproot it, and you have to look at every possible detail and go – and you got to look at all your talent, and you got to start cutting talent. You can't hoard talent anymore because that's hurting you. You have to take everything that's a thorn in your side or apparently doing damage to your health, and you have to remove it. You have to strip all of that down and start rebuilding and nursing yourself back to health, realizing that this is going to take two and a half, 3 years to fix.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot, and there's going to be more talent because, I mean, Bayley, I guess, is putting on the brave face, but you know Bayley doesn't want to be there. So you're losing the horsewoman. Losing Ronda sucks, obviously, for them because I think Ronda was a draw, but she was starting not to be a draw. The Charlotte, there's major Charlotte fatigue. People do not take Lacey Evans credibly. The Riot Squad could have been something, but you never gave them a fix. You neutered them, and then you throw Liv Morgan around and don't tell Ruby Riott, who is a top five talent in your company, and she's obviously pissed off right now. She's not been a Nikki Cross. Like, I don't even know what to say about the NXT colors from January. What a joke. Nikki Cross, so talented, hasn't been able to use anything. EC3 is a Vince wet dream, at least we thought so. He's been wasted. And then Lars is what we knew Lars was going to be, and I think that's kind of one of the reasons I don't really care about SmackDown. They neutered their tag division. The tag division, who's the tag teams on SmackDown now? It's what? Rusev and Nakamura? And who else? Can you honestly tell me who else is there? Because I have no idea. I'm sure there is someone, but I don't know. Who is the other men's tag team on there?
The New Day, but they don't have the New Day right now because
I guess the B team's on there.
Yeah, and they just jobbed out to Roman. One guy beat him.
And then you have your tag teams on Raw with Ryder and Hawkins, but they're just a joke, which we knew was going to happen. It was a really cool moment, and then you're building up the Usos and the Revival by the Revival shaving each other's back. When realistically, there's two dream matches right now in wrestling. And it revolves around three teams, two of which are in WWE, the other one, which is in AEW. It's the Young Bucks versus either one of those teams, but you're going to get the Usos versus the Revival. This is the dream match of dream matches for tag teams that can't have the Young Bucks right now. And you're building it with a back shave. And it leads to a point when you have this crescendo, and I'll let you have your final thought after this, Joel. When you have this crescendo, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, another dream match. We have been waiting for this moment to happen. Tyler Black, Seth Rollins, whatever you want to call him, first AJ Styles, two of the best of the past 20 years. They're going to face each other. They kill the mics. And what you hear is shave his back. And that's where the status of the company is right now. I don't think anything summed it up better to me. And I didn't see the statement live. I had to go back and see it. But nothing tells me more about what this company is right now than Dean Ambrose, John Moxley getting $2.5 million on a Twitter video for a guy that never tweeted, and the biggest singles dream match you can have on the main roster ending with – and the biggest tag match revolving around a shave back and then a chant for a shave back for the biggest singles match you can have in your company right now.
That is the state of WWE, and it's not going to change.
No. Any other points we need to make, Joel?
Brock Lesnar retired.
Right.
And it sounds like it's exactly what I thought it was. It was because of contract negotiations. And of course, Dana's going to say Brock's retired. Brock is so protective of his brand. If Brock was going to retire, he's bloody well going to announce it himself.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a lot to do with this ESPN Plus deal and how much fighters get and everything like that, because pay-per-view is dead in the States. Still get it up here in Canada, still get it in the UK, but in the States it's still a market, and this ESPN Plus thing we knew would be a problem. UFC's done some weird things like this that does affect fighters. We saw it affect GSP when he didn't like the Reebok deal. He did come back with one fight when the Reebok deal happened, but he liked to promote his own stuff, and then when the Reebok deal happened, you can only really promote Reebok on your shorts. So it's a loss for the UFC. It sounds like it's going to be Cormier and Stipe Miocic, but it's still a real loss for the UFC. And I talked about it again. I just think that ESPN Plus deal, I think, is going to bite them in the ass. And I look at something like DAZN. They have the big Canelo and Jacobs fight this week. They've done a good job of promoting it everywhere, telling a story about it. You get your first free month of DAZN for free. And people seem to really be excited for this Canelo and Jacobs fight coming up this week. And yeah,
you don't have to worry, because WWE will promote it on the biggest show of the year for them.
Yeah, which was very bizarre. Just very bizarre.
NXT yeah. TakeOver is set for June 1st.
Some good matches. Spoilers.
Well, we won't get into that. We'll wait. We'll wait a little bit, but it sounds like the card's shaping up a bit. But I don't believe we have any location on where it is yet. I think this NXT TakeOver all got thrown together, put together, because it was originally supposed to be in San Jose on the 8th, but because they're in Saudi on the 7th, it didn't work, and there was a whole... it's a mess.
Is it in Saudi? Because that was a rumor, too.
I don't think so. I just don't think it will be in Saudi
Arabia. Oh, speaking of Saudi Arabia, we've kind of agreed we don't want to talk too much about the show, because screw that show. But Cena and Bryan have pretty much already, apparently, according to Meltzer, refused to go. And Sammy may not be welcome. So there's three talent right there that won't be there.
But you'll have Goldberg, so it's all okay.
Who? I know you don't really care, but who do we think Goldberg's opponents are? I can only think of two people. Either Taker or Roman, I'm guessing?
Yeah, that would be my guess. Because Roman's going, and Braun is going. So it could be Braun and Goldberg.
Could be Braun and Goldberg as well. I don't really care.
No, neither do I.
I have just described from the network, how close are you to getting into that situation? Or is it simply, I want NXT and that's all that matters?
NXT is all that matters.
On NXT, Kushida had his debut match. Not a big deal. Gotta say, probably the most disappointing theme music so far. It might grow on me, but a little disappointing.
I've not heard the theme song yet.
It's fine. It's nothing mind-blowing like we've had in the past. Maybe that's a good thing, because that's apparently how they see Robert Roode right now. Just see him as a theme song, so.
Let the talent get over in ring.
Trevor Lee and Shane Strickland debuted. We don't know if that was a dark match or not, but they debuted as well. So just more solid talent, but where do you put it all? And that's why, to kind of finish this off, maybe giving a release isn't the worst thing in the world to some of these guys, because you're going to make room for other talent. It hurts your company in a way by just signing everyone against this pissant company. You're hurting yourself more. You're hurting the talent more. And it doesn't matter how much you bury people. You can shade the Revivals back. You can add 2 months to Dash Wilder's contract. You see what happens. Dean Ambrose leaves, becomes Jon Moxley, and nobody cares 24 hours later.
Nope.
The moment that the Revival are gone and you have FTR versus the Bucks, people don't care.
Yep.
They get FTR versus the Bucks. Done.
It's the state of professional wrestling where...
It's the same with Sasha, by the way. And then you had her as Mercedes. She does have the Sasha name. She's Mercedes or whatever her other name is. And you have her versus even Allie. People are like, cool, I'm ready to see Martinez versus Allie. Give it to me. Give me a full Sasha Banks that can actually go and not be neutered and be a heel.
Yep. And you can have Snoop Dogg appear on an AEW show. So
there you go. I think that's a problem, too, with really quick on the Sasha thing. I think that, you kind of look where Sasha's been all this time. Bayley has had it way worse. God bless Bayley, because she has been screwed over. But with Sasha, she's never been a heel on this main roster, which she did the absolute best in NXT. And then they gave her the promise of these take titles, how much they're going to defend them. and then an hour, 2 hours before her match, tell them that they're losing it to the Iconics.
And they just got the side plates for the Boss and Hug connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay. So I don't know, man. I don't know what's gonna happen with, like, do you see, as we know, Alexander Wolfowitz is now going to NXT UK, Killian Dane's going back to NXT. Apparently Tyler Breeze is NXT. Fandango's supposed to be back from injury soon, so I don't know where Fandango's going. He'd probably be better at NXT as well. What do you see happening with the Sasha and Harper situations? Do you think it just becomes
they're gonna sit for another 6-7 months and then WWE will finally let them go?
That's like they did it with Neville?
Yeah, it'll be the Neville Punk way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like we said, like, as soon as they're cut, Luke Harper and Sasha will be red hot. You put Luke Harper in Japan, he will be one of the biggest stars in there in 2 years, because it's Bruiser Brody.
Yep. Easy. Simple.
And Sasha's probably the best wrestler you have in your company right now. And if not Ruby, Ruby's up there as well, that are not wrestling right now. And instead you have a Dana Brooke in your Battle Royal, in your Money in the Bank, and a Carmella.
Good times to be had in WWE.
And, on a minor note, John Cena's going to be in Fast and Furious, so more John Cena versus The Rock.
Well, Rock's not in Fast and Furious 9.
Oh, he's not?
No, because of Hobbs and Shaw. But I can see them all amalgamating together at some point.
Or is it because of the Vin Diesel-Tyrese thing?
I've heard some rumors of that, but I don't fully know.
Interesting. All right, well, yeah, I'm sorry, folks, to be so negative on this one, but unfortunately, that's where the world of wrestling has led us. It's been a wild week. Hopefully, we can come back and be a little more positive. I mean, in 3 weeks, for sure, when we do Double or Nothing preview, it'll be great, right, Joel?
Let's hope so.
All right, well, any last points, Joel?
No.
Okay. Everyone, thank you for listening. Until next time, cheers.
I'm not... Funhouse? I don't know.
And enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye! And good night, Ben!